Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. 8:06 on this Monday morning. It's June 15th. Currently in Old Town Park City, we've got 56 degrees. Under mostly sunny skies, Heber City reporting 54 degrees under plenty of sun. And on the phone with us from the ABC Forecast Center, it's meteorologist Cedric Haynes. Good morning.
Happy Monday, KPCW listeners. It's time for your forecast for the Wasatch. Back on this Monday, we've got lots of sunshine expected for us today. Temperatures will be on the warm side as we climb with those high temperatures near 80 degrees. We'll be at 80 degrees, about mid-80s actually, for us in the Heber Valley, with those temperatures around 80 in Park City. As we go into your forecast for your Tuesday, look for plenty of sunshine out there. We're going to be looking at those temperatures that will climb into the low 80s for us in Park City. We'll see those highs climbing into the upper 80s in the Heber Valley. By the time we get towards your Wednesday, I think the core of the heat for this week will start to build into portions of northern Utah, including the Wasatch Back. So we'll see that sunshine in full effect out there. Temperatures will climb into the low to mid 80s in Park City. We'll see those highs into the upper 80s to near 90 in the Heber Valley. Moving into your Thursday, look for lots of sunshine expected across the area. We're looking at those highs about the mid 80s for us in Park City. We'll see those high temperatures climbing to around 90 degrees in the Heber Valley. But it gets even warmer by the end of the week. Your Juneteenth forecast, lots of sunshine as we get towards your Friday. Highs will climb into the upper 80s in Park City. We'll see those high temperatures climbing into the low to mid 90s in the Heber Valley. Moving into the upcoming weekend, that sunshine sticks around with those temperatures cooling down slightly. We'll go to near 80 for a high again in Park City by Saturday. Highs in the mid to upper 80s in the Heber Valley. We will have a chance of a isolated shower popping up as we get towards the weekend on your Saturday and Sunday afternoons. Otherwise, highs will be in the mid to upper 70s for your Sunday with partly cloudy skies. Highs will be into the low 80s in the Heber Valley. Overall, we'll definitely see slightly cooler weather moving towards the weekend, but your Father's Day right now looks pretty good with sunshine and temperatures in the 70s and 80s for highs. That's your latest forecast for the Wasatch Back. I'm ABC 4 meteorologist Cedric Haynes.
Coming up this morning on the local news hour, I'll be checking in with newly named Park City Ski and Snowboard Director Elias Lewis, talking about his new position. We've also got Heidi Volker and Adam Cole, who have registration information for the annual 4th of July 5K Fun Run. Later on, Park City Tots Executive Director Sue Banerjee with details on programs and openings at the child care facilities. And finally, Park City Recreation Assistant Director Tate Shaw with an update on construction and some of their summer programs. Well, a new face will join the Park City Planning Commission starting in July, and another commissioner was reappointed. KPCW's Christine Weller has more on that.
Matthew Day will be the newest member of the 7-member Park City Planning Commission. Mayor Ryan Dickey appointed him to a 4-year term with the consent of the Park City Council. Day previously served on the Park City Board of Appeals. The panel hears appeals of formal rulings relating to the application of city building codes. He said the experience has prepared him to be a planning commissioner.
That was a tremendous opportunity to get to understand how the Planning Commission works. There's, you know, real serious thought and work that's going into each of these commissions, so I don't take this lightly.
Day is also a managing partner and founder of Jordan L. Capital, which invests in industrial companies across North America. He's filling a seat previously held by Henry Sigg, who joined the council in 2022 but was not reappointed. Commissioner John Frontera was reappointed Thursday. He also joined the commission in 2022. Frontera has a finance background and ran his own firm after a tenure on Wall Street.
I really appreciate you trusting me for another 4 years. It's an important position, and we make a lot of important land decisions.
Frontera and Day begin their terms in July and are set to serve through 2030. The commission makes recommendations to the council on general plan and annexation proposals, as well as land management code and zoning map amendments. Commissioners also make decisions related to subdivisions, plat amendments, conditional use permits, and master planned developments. Commissioners are paid $135 for each official meeting up to 4 hours and $200 for each meeting longer than 4 hours. The commission also got a new member in March. Adam Strawn filled a vacancy after Bill Johnson resigned. Strawn previously served on the Planning Commission from 2008 to 2018. As an attorney, he represented local ski resorts and recently recused himself from a decision to allow lift upgrades at Park City Mountain. Christine Weller, KPCW News.
Well, as we've reported, Park City Ski and Snowboard announced that it has hired former alumni Elias Lewis as its new executive director. He joins me now in the studio along with development director Heidi Volker and a longtime supporter of the club, Adam Cole of Cole Sports. Good morning to all of you. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
Elias, first, congratulations on your new position. Tell us a little bit more about your background. I mean, and the path that kind of led you here to Park City Ski and Snowboard. I'm thinking your mom may have been one of like the original Board of Trustee members.
I think so. I think both my parents were very involved back in the 80s when we were growing up here. But, you know, I've gone through the whole winter sport exercise from being a young kid and was fortunate enough to continue through high school and then really fortunate enough to make the U.S. ski team and ski, you know, at the top level of the world. And after that, you know, got hurt a little bit before the dream of 2002 and had to put my focuses into other events just to kind of save my mental health, if you will, back in the 90s. Went into aerospace engineering thinking being an astronaut would be a hilarious and awesome experience, and then got an aerospace engineering degree at the University of Colorado and had a young child, our oldest, Isabel, and decided that maybe strapping yourself onto the top of a rocket wasn't maybe the most responsible thing to do. So went into human spacecraft design, and I did that for about 7-8 years with Lockheed Martin, just to bring it relevant, the craft, the Orion capsule is the spaceship that we started designing that just went around the moon and came back. It was a little late, you know, the government's has some challenges on keeping on schedule. So, you know, from there, it was obvious that you're not in control of, you know, everything when the government and politics at NASA level. And that was frustrating, so I went in to get an international MBA, moved the family to France, my wife and I and the young kids, just to continue the international experience that my wife and I, Jessica, had experienced ski racing. And with that NBA degree, brought finances and slowly was able to get back home to Park City and work with my father, and we did some real estate development in town and in the Intermountain region. And then that's led into some hospitality consultancy with Cooper Wynn, and then we purchased a short-term rental business from Rob Sledem that's now currently called Cooper Wynn Property Management. And then, you know, this opportunity came up and I thought about it, and I, you know, have so many great feelings and really consider most of my life lessons and what's been able to drive me from ski racing as a young kid under Bob Marsh and, you know, those early days. All the great coaches that helped me understand, you know, what you can control and what you can't control, I think is one of the biggest lessons that I took out of it. And always through my career in life, I've always gone back to those lessons that I learned on the mountains here in town. And so when this opportunity came up, it was good timing for me. I have to, there's going to be a couple months until I start full time, but have some responsibilities to shed and put some people in the right places in our other businesses. But it was just such an honor to think about it. And the more I thought about it, I thought I'd throw my hat in the ring. I knew I was probably, you know, a little bit different perspective since I haven't been in youth sports for the last 10, 15, 20 years. But I thought some of my business acumen and my knowledge of the community and growing up here could be an asset. And was fortunate that the board and the selection committee felt the same. So I'm really honored, really excited. And it's just, it's kind of a surreal moment to think, you know, back to the Bob Marsh days and the executive director then when I was 10, to be in his shoes. So there's a little bit of pressure. You know, I'm on the shoulders of some community giants, so I'm excited about trying to help out.
Yeah, I mean, I've got an impressive trio in front of me. Of course, I've got you, skied on World Cup. I mean, Adam Cole, 2-time, 3-time NCAA champion. Heidi Volker, of course, a 2-time Olympian. Yeah, 3-time, sorry. And these are like really kind of, I think you're on the board of directors, Adam, or?
I was.
You were.
And yeah, but I just think the same as what Alias says, that like Park City Ski Team was our lives growing up, and it made a huge impression on us. So I'm excited that he feels that way, and he can bring that passion back to the team.
Yeah. I guess in terms of what you'll do, Elias, I mean, from rocket scientist to developer to, you know, World Cup skier, I mean, what do you see as the most important role in this job? And I mean, it's because it's not just the alpine skiers that you're overseeing. Of course, we've got the free skier, you know, the free skiers, the snowboarders, yeah.
Yeah, there's 9 sports now. So, you know, back when I was growing up, there was 2. There was alpine racing and freestyle, and I happened to enjoy alpine racing. But, you know, honestly, that's one of the exciting parts about it. I get to learn about all these other sports that I've always been a casual, you know, enthusiast about, being on the mountain, being sliding around on snow. But I get to learn about all those other sports, and there's some vulnerability there with the current staff, which, you know, it's a great program. It's on solid footing, but I did tell all the staff that I'm excited to learn their sports. I'm excited to learn their little microcultures and try to bring it all together. I often get the question a lot. You know, I've bounced around a lot, and, you know, the answer that sticks with me, or the answer that I always give people, that at the end of the day, this is a people business, right? Managing staff, managing kids, managing the kids' parents' expectations. I mean, those are all amazing opportunities just to interact with humans. And to me, that's what, you know, that's the exciting part when things come together and you work together to solve problems. I mean, aerospace engineering in general is breaking down a problem and trying to solve it from a physics standpoint. But at the same time, you know, I'm not, you know, I use the joke rocket scientist every now and then, but I consider myself not a rocket scientist. I just understood the language. And at Lockheed Martin, I was in systems engineering integration, trying to get these brilliant minds to work together, which is, you know, engineers earn their stereotypes. So getting them to work together is a challenge. And that's where I cut my teeth from a young professional. And, you know, all the way through, it's always working with people. With development, you're working with construction people, you're working with bankers, you're working with the jurisdictions. So some of that experience, I don't see, it's very different because you're always dealing with humans and they're coming from different perspectives, and being able to harness everybody's strength and being able to protect them and support them is what excites me.
Yeah. So again, you haven't even started full time, but I guess what have you kind of learned about the culture of Park City Ski and Snowboard so far? Because again, you've had, you know, 2 kids, I believe, go through the program. I mean, and so much different than the early days, as you mentioned, of Bob Marsh. And, you know, we had what, Dick Stoner?
As yeah, coach, right. Yeah. Dick Stoner and Jim Clifford and all those guys. You know, what I've learned so far is it's a big program. You know, roughly 1,200 kids. I mean, that's, I mean, I consider it for just from, you know, right off the bat, 1 week in, it's, you know, one of the bigger educational institutions in the community. And, you know, I'm a big believer of academic education, but also I think it's supplementing that with education on the hill, learning, you know, how to challenge yourself, you know, all the great things you get through sport, you know, resilience, all the big words that kids don't understand. But really, you know, in all these sports, you don't win all the time. You lose 99% of the time. And so those are some of the great lessons. And being able to have kids still be enthusiastic about pushing themselves or trying something different, learning how their body moves, learning the, you know, the healthy ways to go about things when you grow up in your adolescence, and those lessons you can take through the rest of your life. You know, what I've learned is the program is on really solid footing. I did a little stint on the board when I first got here, and it was kind of right at the start when they took all these clubs and created under one. And there were challenges there. There's vastly different cultures. I could only just tell you in the week that I've been in the office one day, as I try to balance responsibilities, is that there's great camaraderie around the coaches, not just the alpine coaches. The alpine coaches working with cross country, working with the snowboard. It is really well gelled situation up there in the office, which is very enlightening for me, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah. So as costs continue to rise in youth sports, I mean, how do you see the organization kind of addressing affordability and access to kids, you know, who have a dream of being an alpine downhiller?
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I mean, I think we want the widest funnel at the very beginning. So yeah, funding is going to be one of the biggest parts of the job, fundraising and making sure we get money. But also, you know, you want all these kids in the program to learn and then have them self-select what sport they like the most, because at the end of the day, as you go through adolescence and maybe you're one that wants to try to achieve excellence and go to the top level, it's all coming from the athlete and their motivation internally. So I, you know, my view is the widest funnel, try to get as many kids on the hill as possible just to understand that this is their backyard. They might as well use it. They might as well learn how to play on it. Have them self-select in the sport. And then obviously one of my long-term goals is fundraising and having funds available for scholarships, because one of the worst things that could be is you get a kid really excited about sport and 8, 9, 10, it starts to get expensive, and then unfortunately, sometimes family situations come up where maybe they can't afford it, and that would be the worst. You don't want to kill a dream from a young kid's perspective. You want them aspiring for, you know, the top level, or aspiring for what they see and what they're motivated for. So that's going to be one of my big focuses as I go on. That's a multi-year project.
Yeah. All right. Well, Heidi, let's move into one, because one of the club's bigger fundraisers is coming up, and that's that annual 4th of July 5K fun run. The team has been doing this as long as I can remember. Do we have an annual on it at this point?
Yeah. Thanks to Cole Sport, Adam's here, and we figured out that it's a 42-year event, and it was started by Gary Cole, Adam's dad, and Phil Thompson. We have some great sponsors, and this Saturday, we're just 2 weeks from 4th of July, if you can believe it. We're right in the middle of summer, so it's time to sign up for the 5K and start your 4th of July holiday with our first fundraising event.
Okay. As you mentioned, Phil Thompson and Industrial Supply. I think he's been like... is he still doing it, sponsoring?
Yeah, we have a great group of sponsors. Mm-hmm. We have obviously Cole Sport, Industrial Supply, Three Step IT. I think Adam and I have. We don't know if it's Three Step IT or IT, but Three Step IT we're going with. Arteryx, Citus, Jim Clifford Homes, and Silver King Coffee.
Okay, so Adam, I mean, Cole Sport has been one of the longtime sponsors, and I think is it your team that kind of handles all of the logistics of this?
Yeah, it's gotten a lot easier. We don't do day of registration anymore, so our morning can start an hour later, and we still get over 1,000 runners. So, it starts right at our building there on Park Avenue, and, our team are the water boys and T-shirt handing out. So, yeah, we do it all with the help of a lot more staff help and parent volunteers.
Okay.
And so, registration's available at Cole Sport or Park City SS, our website, parkcityss.org, Park Record, Town Lift, and, of course, runningcard.com.
Okay. Early bird fee at this point, or did people miss that?
No, I think it's still a regular fee, yeah.
Okay. All right. And it costs, do you have details on?
$50.
Okay.
And 30 for kids under 12.
Under.
Yep.
All right, and so you take 1,000 and that's it. So it does, it's...
Yeah, like it'll sell out probably right about 6 p.m. on the 3rd.
On the 3rd, Friday night, yeah.
So
sign up sooner the better.
Yeah, and that is the final time. You don't do any more the day of. The course is a 5K, and it runs basically, what, through the Thames neighborhood?
The same course that I think for 42 years, yep, behind Kohl's, through the golf course, by the water tower, down Payday Drive, and return the same way.
Yeah,
it's fun that you run downhill mostly, pretty fast. Your legs are moving fast at 8 a.m., and then you turn around and high-five your friends on the way back and get to see the people walking and the kids trying, breathing really hard.
It's a great course. Great beginning of the day of the 4th of July. As we all know, the day of the 4th of July here in town is always a great continuous celebration.
Yeah, you go right from there to the parade. Cole Sport, Adam, has been really one of the longtime sponsors of this. I mean, why is this something that you know, your family gets behind?
I think from the very beginning, Phil and Gary were both runners, and they thought this was just a fun opportunity on the 4th of July when there are a lot of people in town. And I also, like Alias, grew up through this program and have stayed involved the whole time. And Cole Sport is all about bringing fun to the outdoors, and I think... what's more fun than running outside before you party all day? So I think it's just a great, great event to bring the community together. And I think it's just stamped in our community at this point with how long it's been going on.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to mention that we didn't get to?
I think it's just great to point out that, you know, Adam Cole and Cole Sport and Alias and my kids came up through the program, that, you know, it really shows the foundation of our club, that, you know, everyone who's been involved is coming back. It's full circle. So I think it's a great example of how strong and a great program we are.
And I should add that we shouldn't lose sight that Industrial Supply is now run by Jessica Thompson, Phil's daughter, who was a classmate of mine. So go Miners, 1993. So it's still a very strong community-oriented program, and there's still a lot of us still in the community that as we get older, get to come up and help shape it. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, it'd be exciting to see what you guys can do. Hey, thanks so much for your time, Adam, Alias, Heidi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In the studio now with an update from PC Tots, I have Executive Director Sue Banerjee. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
For listeners who may not be familiar with PC Tots, just tell us a little bit about the organization, what you do, and who you serve.
Yeah, absolutely. And good morning, Park City. PC Tots, we are the only nonprofit in Park City that provides full-day, year-round, early education and care to children ages 8 weeks to 5 years old for families that live in Park City or Summit County or work in Park City and Summit County. And we make our early education and care affordable by providing tuition scholarships, which we call our Brighter Tomorrow Scholarships.
All right, so you can offer as many scholarships as you have raised funding for, yeah?
Yes, essentially. That's exactly right, Leslie.
Yeah, what do you think your population is in terms of the scholarships that you do provide?
Yeah, well, 80% of our families receive some sort of tuition scholarship. Every family pays something for their, that they pay out of pocket for their child's, their TOTS early education and care. But we have to fundraise for 80% of our families, and we do that based on the family's income level. Families that are at a higher income level, they can pay for the entire cost of care. But families that are below our area median income, they can't afford it. And so to keep these families living here or working here in Park City, we make sure that we can support their youngest, our youngest Parkites.
Yeah, talk a little bit about why early childhood education and support is so critical during a child's first few years.
Well, that's a great question. We have found, not PC Tots, but lots of researchers and scholars have found that investing in early education has the greatest return on investment than at any point in a child's life. There's an amazing professor out at the University of Chicago. I think he's a Nobel laureate. His name is James Heckman. He's done lots of research and analysis and has found that a dollar invested in early education reaps between $10 to $16 for a community later on in that child's life, given what that child is later able to accomplish, but also less investment later on by the community in things like behavioral interventions, maybe academic interventions, even lessening of interactions with law enforcement. Those things all seem to decrease because of high quality early care and education.
Okay. So does business slow down at all during the summer? I mean, are most parents work year-round, so they need year-round care?
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. In fact, what we have seen is there's a bit of a transition with our pre-K kiddos going off to kindergarten. In fact, we just had our pre-K graduation. Our pre-K tots are ready to excel at kindergarten, and we had a little graduation ceremony for them over at the Park City Library in the Santee Auditorium. We're super excited for them. We know they're going to do amazing things. We are seeing just as much need in the summertime as during the year. In fact, for families that are looking for full day, year-round care, it's a struggle to find things in the summer. I've gone through it with my own kids trying to, you know, what camp are you going to this week? What camp are you going to next week? For those families that need that full day, year-round care, PC Tots may be the answer for you. So I'd encourage them to go to our website. We are enrolling students right now. We're enrolling our newest Tots right now. Our enrollment age is 8 weeks to 5 years old. So get onto our website, pctots.org, and you can enroll your child at PC Tots. We do not have any fees associated with trying to register your child.
Okay. 8 weeks. How long of a wait list do you have for the infant program?
Oh, my gosh. The infant program, that is where we see a larger wait list than the other populations because the infant program has a higher cost of care. It all has to do with ratios, the number of students to the number of teachers. And infants and our youngest toddlers require a tighter ratio. You have one teacher for every four babies. Versus in pre-K, it's one teacher for every 10 tots. So very different.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about how the programs then kind of set kids up for success when they leave preschool and go to kindergarten. I mean, they know their letters, their numbers, colors.
Well, that's exactly right. And so we focus on a couple different things. Academic readiness. So knowing your numbers, having early phonemic awareness, early numeracy skills, so that these our tots can go into kindergarten with the framework to let them build on what they already know, the curriculum that the teachers and kindergarten are going to be implementing. On top of that, our tots learn social and emotional development skills so that they can be ready for kindergarten. And what I mean by that, things as simple as understanding what lining up to go to lunch means, or knowing that they need to raise their hand if they have a question. Understanding that circle time means that you come and sit down in your spot and you don't start poking at the person next to you. It's those kind of things that are important because they really affect the classroom environment. If the classroom environment is disruptive, teachers can't implement their curriculum. And so we want our tots to go into kindergarten, not only with the academic framework, but also with understanding what a classroom environment looks like, that behavioral framework.
Yeah. And they get out and get some exercise, because I know that you and there's another local one in Prospector, mm-hmm. you know, that I see driving, you know, they're all strung together and they're bright orange or, you know, yellow vest. And yeah. Get out and walk a couple times a day, huh?
They do. We want to get them outside. We want them walking. And I mean, this is a beautiful community. We would be remiss to not have our tots outside on the trails, walking around at our location at the Park City Library. We have a little garden space and a little outdoor space. They're out there playing. And so we love to get them out there and say hi to them. If you see them, don't necessarily, you know, stop your cars, but maybe wave at them. I think they would enjoy that.
Yeah. Oh, I do. They're so darn cute. So I mentioned we talked earlier about enrollment. So there is a wait list for infants, mm-hmm. but you're enrolling for all other ages at this point then?
That's exactly right. And even for infants, I would say we just never know. People come in and out of the community. You know, we may have someone who's lined up to be in a slot, but then their parents have to move somewhere else. So I would say get on our wait list. There's, like I said, no fees associated with it. If you have a need, reach out.
All right. How many locations do you have now?
We have three locations, two in Prospector and then one over at the Park City Library.
Okay. And the one at the library is for your older kids because of the location?
That's right. We're on the third floor over there, right by the Santee Auditorium. And so we need to make sure for health and safety purposes that those kiddos, if we ever needed to evacuate them, they can evacuate safely.
Okay. How do you ensure that families from diverse backgrounds and income levels mm-hmm. and can be part of the program?
Well, we encourage all families to reach out to us, take a tour, see if the program fits with your needs and what you're looking for. We have teachers who are bilingual teachers. So our education is often in English and in Spanish. We, again, want to create an environment where children can thrive and parents feel comfortable dropping their child off in the morning and then knowing that when they pick their kiddo up, they're going to be safe, they're going to be happy, and it's just going to be this smooth experience for them. And so we really pride ourselves on having a close relationship with our family so they know what's happening with their tots on a daily basis. We send emails to them. We send pictures to families showing what their tot is doing every day. And as I said, for parents whose English is, is not as strong as yours or mine's might be, we have teachers that can communicate with them in Spanish too.
Okay. So how much room do you have for how many children?
We have 100 children. That we currently serve. We have spots for 100 kiddos, 100 tots, and like I said, we're seeing about 20 of them graduate. We're going to be moving some of our infants into the toddler room. Some of our toddlers are going to go into the pre-K space, but we have space for potentially more infants, more toddlers, and more pre-K.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Also wanted to mention, save the date coming up. You have a fundraiser, July 9th.
Yes, July 9th from 5:30 to 7:30. It's at the Legacy Lodge, and it's being sponsored. We are so thankful for our sponsors, Columbus Pacific, Vail Resorts, and American Family Insurance. Their generosity has helped make this possible. Our fundraiser is called The Magic of Learning. It's an opportunity for people to learn about what we do, meet our board members, meet our staff members, and just really connect as a community to support our youngest, our neediest children.
Okay. The cost of that is how much?
It's $125 for one ticket, and a table for 10 people is $1,000. We're going to be having an opportunity drawing as well, and this is the reason it's called The Magic of Learning. Obviously, learning is amazing. We want everyone to be a lifelong learner, but we will have a magician there as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun.
All right, people can, again, reserve a ticket online.
That's right. And the reason we're doing this fundraiser is to support our tuition scholarships. That's what our funds go to, so that we can then provide a family a tuition number that they can actually pay. And so that's where these dollars all go to.
Yeah. Now, the Park City School District now also has preschool.
Yes.
And pre-K at a couple of their locations. Has that impacted you at all? And are they year-round?
I don't believe they're year-round. Mm-hmm. That's a great question. What we do see is a shift in the marketplace, for sure. You know, when you have a new entity come in, and they're quite large, It does shift the marketplace, and so we're trying to learn what the marketplace looks like now. We're still in that learning phase, but we do still see a need for the 3 to 5 year old pre-K program for families that need it year round. It's real, like, it's hard to find aftercare. It's hard to find summertime care. Being 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., some families are really going to need that to be able to live and work in our community.
Okay. Sue, anything else you wanted to mention?
We just are so thankful for our community supporting us. Every dollar you give to PC Tots helps a child, helps a tot. And so we're just really thankful. And please come join us. It's going to be such a fun event. I mean, who doesn't like a magician?
Okay. All right, Sue. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
That's Sue Banerjee, Executive Director of PC Tots. In the studio now with an update from Park City Recreation, I have Assistant Recreation Director Tate Shaw. Good morning, Tate.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, so the outdoor pools at the Mark now open for summer. Maybe just talk a little bit about what visitors can expect. You're open, what, 9 to 6? Or?
Yeah, you know, our open swim hours are a little different daily, but basically our activity pool is open 12:30 until 6:30 p.m. on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and then on the weekends it's 12 to 6. But the key reason for that is we do have swim lessons that are on Tuesday and Thursday evenings that happen after that 4 o'clock time frame. But yeah, the pool is fantastic. The leisure pool specifically, it's 87% larger than our former leisure pool. You've got a zero depth entry, and it goes up to 9 feet. I mean, it's a fantastic space.
And this was from somebody who was there opening day, and they said the pools are cold. Have they warmed up a little bit?
Yeah, you know, it's some growing pains with new systems, right? There's some commissioning, and I kind of liken it to a new chairlift that goes in on the mountain, right? There's a couple little bumps here and there, those growing pains. But yes, our staff has been working very closely with you know, the builder and all the engineers to make sure that the commissioning's right and all. But yeah, the lap pool was a little cold, the hot tub was a little cold, but everything's running and functioning well right now. And again, we're just still learning this brand new system.
Okay, so swim lessons are back, and I guess you've got, what other water programs do you have?
Well, it was pretty interesting. This last weekend was our first parent-taught swim lessons in the new pool, and that was a fantastic opportunity to watch the little kids get there, and it went off successfully. We also have our pre-comp swim team, which is back, and that officially starts this morning. Actually, they're about 45 minutes into the first day there, but that runs Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., and it's a pre-comp program that allows these youth to get comfortable in the water, stroke technique, etc., to be able to continue on to that competition and potentially even to the high school level and beyond. So that's a fun way to be able to learn and grow in the pool. And man, this, the new lap pool, it's 8 lanes. Our former pool was 6. So just the dynamic of the pool alone is so much better than we had before.
Yeah, and it seems like the rows are wider than they used to be as well.
So they're actually about the same size. Yeah. However, with having eight lanes, the former pool being six lanes, we butted right up against to the edge wall. Now there is that buffer with a lane line. So we actually have lane lines that help with that current and the water that bounces off the wall and comes back. So the nice thing is any one of our lap lanes that you're in, the former pool, if you were on the outside, you kind of were swimming against strong current. Now with the new design and everything, so it does feel wider, but it is it is still, 25 yards in length and the same width for each of the lanes.
Okay. Talk a little bit about staffing levels. I know that has been a problem in the past, just getting enough lifeguards, swim instructors. You're fully staffed?
Yeah,
at this
we're doing well. We had with new operations, new pool, increased water, water overall size and capacity. But we are doing good. We've run a series of lifeguard certification courses. We have one that just completed. We do still have an advertisement out there for recruiting for lifeguards, but we're back up to where we need to be, which is great.
Yeah. That's not an easy job. I guess it's a good job for you, but I know you do rotate them so things stay interesting.
Yeah, so they have a rotation that they have to do, and that this is also monitored and balanced by state code of what lifeguards have to do. So they have certain time that they have to be away and out of the sun. We also have some other job tasks that are on the pool deck and such there, but they do rotate from location to location, and that also includes from the leisure pool, all the different features in the leisure pool in different spaces, from that zero depth entry, that little tot location, to the climbing wall, to the slide, and then as it rotates in and around towards what we like to joke around and say the chicken fight area, which is just a fun play space in the pool, and then to the lap pool, and they have that rotation that's there. One thing that's really nice about the new facilities is the new lifeguard office and station for them to be able to get out and away from the sun is still right there adjacent to the pool deck. So they can be inside, they can be having their break, but they still have that close proximity to the pools, which is fantastic. The former pool, if you remember, you had the leisure pool and then you had a lower level on the property where the lap pool is, and now that they're right adjacent to each other, it makes it for a really efficient oversight.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about the design. I mean, all of the pool equipment, I guess, is under that really cool, what looks like a mining structure?
Yeah, so that's the leisure pool pump room, pump house there. And so that's where all of that functions, is out of that space. And then our former lap pool pump room area is still the pump room for that pool specific. So they run as two separate bodies of water. The benefit of that is if you do have some sort of issue, pools do have bio issues where, you have an unfortunate incident in the pool. The ability is we still have two bodies of water that can still operate. So if one goes down for some circumstance, you still have the other body. But that the two different pump house spaces.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, in terms of swim lessons, mm-hmm. and other pool programs, people can go online to register?
Correct. Yeah, you can go to the website, parkcityrecreation.org. One thing that's brand new, just started over the weekend, and we will have this coming up on weeknights, on Thursdays, is SUP yoga. So stand-up paddleboard yoga, which is, if you've never tried that, it is super fun. It adds a whole new level of balance, and you practice your yoga while balancing on a board. It's a lot of fun. So that's something that we are offering as well now, and you can register directly through the website there.
Okay. Construction continues on the new recreation building there at City Park. Can you give us an update there on that progress?
Yeah, so the trail, we knew the community was very aware that we had a trail reroute. That is now back open as of Friday, which is great. That is to help with the east side of the building and the construction that's happening there adjacent to the trail. The building is coming along quickly on the exterior shell. The masonry work is nearly complete entirely. It's beautiful. The building has a really cool, I'll use the word sheen, based on how the sun hits off of the masonry and the brick. Beautiful building. Windows will be going in real soon. The roof's entirely done. So as soon as the windows are in and the exterior doors, we'll pretty much move to all interior construction effort. of course, the exterior will have landscaping and the playground and all of the other amenities that are going to be happening. But they'll move inside, and it's moving fast. It's moving really fast. We're very excited about that space.
When do you hope to be in there?
Our hope is to be in there in November. You know, obviously, construction is moving quickly now, but, you know how construction can go. But our goal is to be in there in November.
Yeah. And so what have you done with all of the kids who use the rec building as kind of the base for summer camp?
Wow, you know, I just have to say for our staff and the community, wow, there's been a lot of grace with having a smaller, different style anchor location this year. So they are utilizing Miners Hospital as the anchor location for summer camp this year. You go into that space and it is vibrant, it is exciting, kids are happy. Last week, I was talking with one of our staff and had highlighted that there were a couple parents that were like, our kids are so worn out, they're gonna take Friday off. So without having a playground specific that they can have as their default for outdoor activity, they are cruising. They are having fun. Lots of other activities throughout the community. They're utilizing the Mark a little bit more than they normally do. They're gonna be utilizing some of the other community amenities as well, such as the library a little more. But they're out and about. They're using the Jack Green Bandstand daily. There's the mobile rec trailers out there. It's as if that's been the location forever.
Yeah, I've seen lots of kids, riding by. I guess once the new facility is open, so what kind of amenities and services will run out of there?
So the great thing about that space is we will actually have community rental space where they'll be able to have, you know, meetings and events, parties, receptions, et cetera, as well as be able to run a summer camp program during the summer season that we'll host. We have the square footage and the capacity by code to be able to run up to 150 kids for that camp. Our current number, formerly, before we've been in this little smaller location, we'd run right around 100 kids. 98 kids was our capacity, and we're gonna be able to do that. Now, that's one of the main drivers of that space, but wanna be clear, we're gonna be able to run a variety of other things there. Community enrichment programs, everything from things that happen at the Mark that were kind of crammed in, from like the youth karate programs, the adult self-defense stuff, to that of archery and first aid classes and other community enrichment programs. We do, you know, the candy cane flashlight, you know, activities and hunts, community crafts. The Youth Recreation Advisory Board, as well as staff, have, you know, they're discussing new opportunities and new programs that will go in there that we've maybe not had fully participated in, that we'll be able to have as an anchor location there and run a lot of different opportunities there, teen activities. The great space that this will be is we'll be able to have a band out on the patio. I mean, just a beautiful location.
Yeah, really nice. So how did summer camp registration go? I mean, are you like filled up by noon that day?
Summer camp for all of our different camps and programs, yes, there is still a few there are a few programs that have some space available, but for the most part, our camps, our numbers are looking good. Summer camp itself is full summer campers are sold out. However, there is opportunity for daily drop-ins and things of that nature that you can go onto the website and check in and register for. But our other programs, such as adventure camp, such as our, you know, we've got summer tennis clinics and camps. We've got skateboarding, we've got bike programs, we've got fishing and archery. I mean, our staff's busy, and we love what we get to do.
Okay, and then what about for teens and adults? I mean, what do you got going on for them?
Yeah, so, you know, again, our group fitness calendar is still robust and going on. There's some fun things that maybe people aren't aware of. We run a line dancing program, which is awesome, and that's one that you can check into and participate. We can do that you can register for this entire session, or you can do $15 and come in just for the drop-in of that. So things like that. We also have, like I said, a robust group fitness schedule where we're pushing, you know, depending upon the day, you know, you're pushing 10 to 12 classes a day of opportunity for people to participate in. And then on top of it, we have a great bike program. Our team, they run MOB, which is Moms on Bikes, and they do rides every week, and there's also a series of clinics and other things. So we do love what we get to do.
Okay, Tate, anything else you want to tell us about?
Keep checking in on the website with updates on construction and things of that nature. We're excited for what we continue to get to bring to the community.
Okay, Tate Shaw from Park City Recreation. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you, Leslie.
Heber City Police Department and Salt Lake Police Bomb Squad responded to a report of a suspicious bottle located at 1200 South 550 East in Heber City Saturday. Heber City Police received a report of a suspicious bottle near the library about 10:30 in the morning from a resident attending an event at the library. Police Deputy Chief Brandon Russell told KPCW the bottle had an attached note indicating it was intended for law enforcement and should not be touched. A canine unit was deployed and indicated that there were explosive materials on the bottle. The library and surrounding area were then evacuated and nearby traffic was temporarily restricted. The Salt Lake City Area Bomb Squad responded and was able to safely investigate and dispose of the item. The area was then cleared after a sweep for any additional threats. No explosive or explosive materials were found in the area. Police Department Investigations Team is working to determine the circumstances of the incident. The area was reopened to the public at about Saturday afternoon at about 3 p.m. The Park City Council plans to roll back an ordinance that raised elected officials' salaries by more than 100%. KPCW's Christine Weller reports the council and mayor will instead see a more modest pay bump.
After more than 2 hours of discussion, the majority of the Park City Council came to a consensus on where council member and mayor pay should land. The council approved an ordinance in May to more than double council member and mayor salaries, but after weeks of community criticism, the council decided to revisit raises. The council agreed to an increase of about 18% Thursday. At that rate, council member salaries will rise from nearly $29,000 to over $34,000. The mayor's salary will increase from more than $55,000 to almost $66,000. The percentage increase is in line with comparison data city staff provided on how staff salaries have changed since 2015. That's the last year the council and mayor saw a pay raise outside of cost of living adjustments. Council members Molly Miller, Tana Tolley, and Diego Zagara argued for the top end of the salary range staff recommended, or almost $38,000. Tolley compared the council to their Summit County peers, who earn $70,000 per year. Miller was concerned the salary would limit who could run for office.
The correct number for council compensation is the number that allows a working person to run for office, knowing that they will be able to survive, or maybe even thrive, when council compensation accounts for half of their income.
Council member Ed Parisian was in favor of the lower end of the range, which sat at almost $32,000. However, he agreed to come up to $34,000 if councilors agreed to have a broader discussion on long-term compensation this fall. Council member Bill Sirocco didn't want a raise higher than 10%.
What we do is service, and in order to give service, you need to sacrifice.
The elected officials also each receive $30,000 in health benefits each year. City staff say that number could rise in January. The mayor also has a car allowance. The raises will be approved through an ordinance establishing elected officials' compensation and will be approved June 25th alongside the fiscal year 2027 budget. Christine Weller, KPCW News.
A reminder that Park Avenue from 15th Street to the Deer Valley Drive intersection will close overnight starting tonight. The work is part of the State Route 224 Bus Rapid Transit Project installing storm drain infrastructure at the north end of Park Avenue. Starting Monday, the section of road will close from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. daily through Friday. Drivers will be detoured through Empire Avenue and Deer Valley Drive. The 7-mile-long Bus Rapid Transit Project is expected to be completed by 2028 and is designed to move more people efficiently, reduce traffic delays, and to provide a dependable alternative to driving between Kimball Junction and Old Town. And Summit County has increased the fire danger to moderate as part of its Stage 1 fire restrictions enforcement. The restrictions apply to all unincorporated parts of the county. It bans all fires except those in established pits. Smoking near grass and dry vegetation and setting off fireworks and other pyrotechnic devices are also prohibited. Residents can access the latest fire updates, including Fire Outlook, red flag warnings, fire conditions, prescribed burns, and more by texting SC Fire to 91896. Wasatch County has not enacted any fire restrictions this year.